Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. I love that song. It speaks about the name of Jesus and all the different names that Jesus has in the New Testament. The next two verses speak about many more names that God has. Mm-hmm. And it's not just in the New Testament, but the Old Testament too.
Exactly. I mean, God gives us many names. I am, as we were told about in Exodus before this, and as well as many, many other names.
Usually they define who he is and give attributes. But we'll talk more about that as we look at the name of God and a commandment. Don't you misuse the name of God in lesson 42:16 today.
I am so excited.
Why is that?
Because we have not one, not two, but three letters.
Yay!
From the inbox. The first letter is from Mary. Hi, Mary. She says, "Dear Pastor Dave and Cecilia, an excellent lesson. I have, for several years, thought of the Ten Commandments in a positive rather than a negative light. So I agree with you that they are ten statements rather than prohibitions. I think God is telling us how we were created to be, people who do not worship false gods, do not steal, do not covet, etc. I learned an alternative meaning of the word jealous. According to Dr. Olson, rather than meaning possessive of one's own, in earlier English, it means protective of one's own. Thanks for the story of the grandma and the roast. It made me laugh. Blessings to you both. Mary."
Thanks, Mary. It really does describe the Ten Commandments, how we are God's people. And that's why he gave these commands to the people in the desert, because they're now a new people. And they had to learn how to live to be God's people. And, hey, that's the way it is for us, too.
Mm-hmm.
Our second letter comes from Connie.
Hi, Connie.
Connie writes, "Thanks for clearing up why people of the fourth generation pay for the first one's sin, and how God is a jealous God." Yep.
And our third letter comes from Corey. Hello, Corey. He says, "This podcast, Learning to Be People of the Lord, has such a great relationship in me in learning the law of God. All through my life as a Christian, I believe that the Ten Commandments are important." Corey.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments aren't just 10 wishes or 10 recommendations. They are commands. And even though, as Mary stated, they kind of speak of who we are, they are, though, God's firm word. This is what I am saying. And with that, let's move on to the next commandment.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name.
So, what does this mean? Martin Luther did a neat thing in the Catechism. That's the study book to help people, students, you and me, understand better God's Word and the different parts of it, like the Ten Commandments. And so he did write after each of the commandments. And so we have with the second commandment, what does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call on it in time of trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. Pastor Dave, have you ever seen those expandable suitcases that collapse?
Yeah, I had one. Yeah.
Well, here this commandment is neatly collapsed and zipped up in one simple sentence. Then Luther, who liked to talk a lot, comes along, and he totally expands this thing, and now this suitcase is just bulging with ideas and thoughts. And my head is about to explode with questions.
Well, let's not let it explode. What are some of your questions?
Okay, first of all, it says that we're not to use his name to curse and swear and such.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yet, when I get really excited, I like to say, "Oh my flipping gosh!" And one of my friends always says, "How do you flip a gosh?"
What is a gosh?
Yeah, and what is a gosh?
Mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
Some people would say that I'm saying something wrong. They say that gosh, that I really mean God. And then, I mean, there are lots of words for that. And then, of course, there's when people say, excuse me, but God damn it. And sometimes they really mean that they want something banished to hell. And sometimes they're just mad because they stubbed their toe.
Well, first thing first, yeah. Most of the time when people say that, it is because they're angry they stubbed their toe. And they don't realize what they're saying. And that's what Luther is really talking about here. That's cursing.
Okay.
When you don't even realize the words you're using and using them just as an expression of anger, that's cursing.
Okay, but when COVID-19 happened and my nephew was sick, I really did say, "God damn this virus," because I was so upset.
Yeah. And that would be acceptable, I suppose. That's really not a misuse of God's name there, because it is something you want to banish.
I do.
Yeah. I personally am extremely cautious, and quite frankly, I never say those words. I used to,
mm-hmm.
And I got caught once by somebody who said, "You said what?" They didn't expect me to say that. And I realized, wow, people are watching me. They know I'm a Christian. And so maybe I should pay more attention to what I'm saying. So I have worked extremely hard not to let words come out when I am frustrated or angry.
What about words like gosh and golly? Are they okay to use?
Well,
when I say, "Oh my flipping gosh."
I know, what we told our girls when they were growing up, we'd rather have you say that than the real words.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if you can not say it, it'd even be better. Because every time something happens, "Oh my gosh," or "Oh my God, what's going on here?" Why can't you say, "What's going on here?" Why do you got to add God into the whole conversation?
Be- because sometimes I feel like I need to express a little bit more of my astonishment or my...
But are your thoughts really going to God?
No.
Then,
honestly?
Then, be honest with you, that's cursing. When you use his name, use a reference to him, if you truly are thinking about him, okay. But if not, then it really is what Luther is talking about here, of misusing God and his name.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, there always seems to be more.
I like to watch trials on YouTube or TV. And the witnesses always have to take an oath. And yet, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, not to swear by God. So, which is right? When is it okay to... Or is it okay to take those oaths, or is
well,
it not?
Yeah, there are times, and the Bible does talk about taking oaths. In fact, wedding vows are oaths, promising to be faithful. When we confirm our faith, whether that be as a 6-year-old or a 8-year-old or a 14-year-old in 8th grade, that's an oath. Oaths are fine, but they're not to be done needlessly or recklessly. Certainly in a court of law, it is acceptable so that people will know for sure you're telling the truth.
Because you're asking God to be your witness.
Correct. Right? Correct. This is really talking about, I swear to you, I didn't do it. Come on, leave me alone. Like, something like that. You know, I swear to God I didn't. Peter did that. I swear to God, I didn't know. I don't know the man. You know, that's just quickly, needlessly.
Thoughtlessly.
Yeah, that's a good word. Thoughtlessly. I don't know if I ever told you this or not. It's been quite a while now, though. Deb had a picture frame that broke. And... Mm-hmm. She asked our neighbor to fix the picture frame for her.
Okay. But we all know that you're so good at that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I sure wanted to do it, and but she asked somebody else.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I felt slighted, and I felt like, well, I was hurt. I was hurt. And I did tell her. I did tell her.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring this story up simply because as we're talking about misusing God's name, and in the middle of this, Luther said, don't curse, swear, or use satanic arts. And you might think, how is using satanic arts misusing God's name? Well, when satanic arts are used, it's going to another power source instead of God, seeking help and aid or comfort or whatever. And just as it made me sad when my wife did that, and she's never done it since then, by the way. Never did it since then. She's always comes to me first. So it is with God, that when we go to something else, it hurts him. And that's what satanic arts are. It's a different power source than him. And so really, we're going to a different God. By the way, if we haven't said it yet, we were going to say it several times. You know, when you break any of the Ten Commandments, you also break...
the first commandment.
You shall have no other gods before me.
There's there's a new preacher on. I think I'll see what he's got to say here.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord. I have a very special message from you from the Lord. Let me share what it is. Most ears cannot hear this because, well, most ears just aren't capable of hearing these things of the Lord. So God told me in a revelation just the other night that if you send in $100... You might ask, why send in $100? Well, it'll support this ministry. It'll help continue the ongoing message that you hear like this and be comforted and strengthened. But it'll be a statement of faith. It'll show that you have faith. So send in that $100, and what will God do for you then? He will heal your diseases. He will bless your finances. That's what the word of the Lord has said. For he said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find.
Oh, all right. Knock, all right. And the door shall be. I've had just about enough of this. I am turning this guy off. Ugh. This is what is meant by lying and deceiving in God's name. I mean, the Bible verse, he took that totally out of context. He's not saying, ask and it will be given to you because you need it. He's saying, ask because I want it. He's playing the name it and claim it game, and that is not a game to be played with God. God gives us what we need, not what we decide we need.
You know, I think before we start this next segment, maybe we should stop and have lunch. It's just about ready.
Do I want to be surprised or do I not?
Oh, I know you like surprises, but I'll tell you, it's goulash.
Oh, I love your goulash.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I made it today.
Oh, it is delicious.
Thank you.
Wow. Pastor Dave, you are like one of the best cooks I know.
Ah.
I'm serious. Your spaghetti, your goulash, your, well, your wife is too.
You want to add that Mexican pot roast I made 2 weeks ago?
The Mexican pot roast was okay.
No, it wasn't. Just, come on, get real.
All right, that wasn't one of my favorites, but usually I love the food that you cook.
Well, thanks.
I always look forward to coming here, not just because of your lunches, but I'm just so glad that after COVID-19, we can be working together here again.
It is nice. You know. It is nice. Well, let's get up and go to the table.
All right.
Pull it out of the oven, and we shall go.
Oh. Wow, that good was a good lunch.
To be, well, yeah, oh, thank you. Yeah, I like that too. And you know, as I was eating, I was thinking about it. You really praised me in my cooking before we left for lunch, and that's why we kept that, by the way, people.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the third commandment, as it's written in Exodus, it's often considered the second by many churches, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Luther ended his explanation by saying the way you do honor God's name and the way you do keep it is in times of trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. And you know, what you were doing was praising me and thanking me before the meal for the meal. And that's
yes.
Kind of what the second commandment is too. When we pray to God, we praise him and acknowledge to him how good he is to us. And it's not that God has an ego complex that he needs to be patted on the back, but we are the ones who have an ego problem, that we have too big of an ego and we
mm-hmm.
need to be humbled and God lifted up, that he is the one doing it all. And obviously thanking him for all that he does as well. So praising and thanking him. It's the way we keep this name. And of course, the times of trouble, praying. Didn't you have something this morning? You said, oh, God answered the prayer already?
Oh, yeah. I thought I'd forgotten to bring my pills with me. And just happened to touch my shirt pocket, and there the pills were.
Yeah, yeah. So when we are in times of trouble, when we do have needs, he does want to hear from us too. That's our Heavenly Father, and that's how we keep his name. So, are we ready to move on to the next commandment?
Not quite.
Okay.
There is something that you're always mentioning about names. A name has something to do with a person's reputation.
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, when you think of Jesse James, what do you think of?
Cowboy, bandit, gun shooter, bad guy.
When you think of Ulysses S. Grant.
Well, I'm reading a biography by him right now, so I think of a tightly cut beard, a great general, a nice gentleman.
And when you think of Presidents Obama and Trump?
Okay. Diametrically opposed people holding to different values and different things, different ways of doing it. Oh, okay. So a name carries with it the whole person. And so it would with God as well, the whole person. And well, yeah, that makes sense. That's why we shouldn't use his name in vain, because we're using the entire person of God.
We're putting their reputation at stake.
Yeah. And if, hey, we're called Christians, that means we're carrying the name of Jesus Christ.
That is true.
And it's important to live accordingly. Thanks. And you know, when you speak about the name of God and that it carries his reputation, it comes back to mind the song I started this program with, Jesus' name above all names. But there are other verses besides verse 1. Jesus, loving shepherd, vine of the branches, Son of God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Lord of the Universe, Light of the World. Jesus, Way of Salvation, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, Mighty Creator, my Savior and Friend. And you know, the name of Jesus carries with it that reputation of all those things. It's the loving shepherd, vine of the branches, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and my friend.
How do you know Jesus? What is he to you? A friend? A savior? Someone you can talk to? Or is he someone distant? Someone special? Someone you can laugh with? Write us and tell us.
You can do so at info, I-N-F-O,
at not-alone,
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E,
dot N-E-T.
And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.